It's not a rhetorical question. Do you want a healthy church? I know I want a healthy church. I want a healthy church made up of healthy relationships. And we're going to get that when we work on building community together. So that's what this series is all about. Last week, Pastor Carl talked to us about how right smack in the middle of our church mission statement is a phrase that's really good for talking about what we're talking about. Do you remember what the middle phrase of our mission statement is? I'm not going to put it on the screen until you tell me what it is. What's the middle one? The one in the middle. Shout it out. Loving each other. That's right. You heard it this morning already. Loving each other is the middle phrase in our church mission statement, and it belongs here in a conversation about building community. I'll tell you what, this is a loving and welcoming church family. It's one of my favorite things about who we are. It's hard for me to believe, but it's been almost 4 years since my family came and joined the family here at Mountjoy Mennonite Church. It'll be 4 years in March. And I remember the very first week that we were here, when Sarah and I spoke in front of the church as we were preparing to come on staff here, and we had so many of you that welcomed us, that met us in the lobby afterward, gave us big handshakes and big hugs, and told us you were glad that we were here. And I remember in particular one small, smiley woman with a head covering who came up to me with tears in her eyes and gave me a huge hug. Do you know who that woman was? Susie Hess, I heard somebody say it. Susie Hess was the one that came up and gave me a giant hug with tears in her eyes. She's such a beautiful, wonderful person. And Susie hasn't been able to be with us since COVID, but we miss her. And I called her this week to see how she was doing. She's still just as lovable as ever. And she told me that she's praying for me and for us. And I'm just so thankful for that. So that was my first experience, our first experience coming into the family at Mountjoy Mennonite Church. And then, not too long after that, our family was invited to a small group gathering. And so we went to this house that we'd never been to before, hanging out with people that were unfamiliar to us. And they seemed really interested in us and interested in knowing who we were and getting to know us. And we shared food together. We had a meal. We talked about our spiritual lives. We had a great time together. It was like family. And do you know who it was that invited us over to their house? It was Tony and Rebecca Brubaker that had us over to their house. And in the years since then, I've seen those guys open their house again and again and again because they love to have people come in and show them the love of Jesus in their house. I could tell you probably several more stories like this. Times when I've been invited to people's parties for someone in the church. I've been asked to sing at their event. Times when I've gotten a card or a gift in my mailbox. Times when I've been given a phone call or an email just to let me know that I'm loved, that I'm being prayed for. And it's so encouraging, it's so meaningful. And I want to say thank you. If you're one of those people who has ever reached out and ever encouraged me or my family, I want to say thank you. It means so much to me. You have no idea. It would be really hard to do the work of being a pastor without encouragement like that. So thank you. Please don't stop. So all these things that I've experienced since I came into the staff here at Mountjoy Mennonite Church have taught me about the kind of people that call this place home and the kind of people who have historically called this place home. It's a loving, welcoming group of people, and that's one of my favorite things about the church. But I also think that has the potential to be one of our greatest challenges. See, we have the ability to love people really well when they walk into the building. We do that really well. We have a huge capacity to love people who walk through the doors of our building, but I think it has a potential to be a great challenge for us. What does that mean? What could that possibly mean? Well, I'm going to get to that. We're going to come back to it. I'm going to leave you with a little question mark about that for a minute. First, I want to take a look at the scripture passage that we heard from this morning that Derek and Nathan read for us out of Philippians chapter 2. So if you would take a look at that with me. In Philippians 2, the Apostle Paul gives Christian believers an attitude check as he talks about the church. See, one thing that Paul was really good at was describing what the life of a Jesus follower looks like. All over his writings, he gives us lists and indicators and markers of what the Christian life looks like. If you follow Jesus, then you should probably look like this. Your behavior looks like this. Your attitudes look like this, right? Paul's the same guy who gave us the list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. He said, if the Holy Spirit is alive and living in you and working in you and that's what's coming out of you, then this is what it looks like. You have love, you have joy, you have peace, you have patience, goodness, and all the rest of those great things. Those are evidence of the Holy Spirit working and living in your life. And here in Philippians 2, Paul does something really similar as he talks about the church. He gives us some of these markers, some of these things that indicate that we have a healthy church and that you have a healthy connection to your church. And he's going to ask some questions to the people of the church, and that includes you and me. Now, if you're new here, I'm not going to make any assumptions about you. I'm not going to assume that you're part of a church or that you want to be part of this church. But the great thing about what we're about to look at is that we can look at these questions and say, is it worthwhile to be part of a church? I want you to know this morning the door is open. If you want to be part of this church, we'd love to have you. But listen to these questions first and see if it's worthwhile to be part of the church. Scripture calls the church the body of Christ. We're part of our Lord. So Paul asks us, if you're part of the body of Christ, do you have encouragement from that? Do you have love and fellowship together? Do you experience tenderness and compassion and comfort? Are these markers of your experience in the church? Just think on that for a moment. Are these the experience that you've had in the church? I know that this isn't everyone's experience in the church, and when they think about church, they may not think about it this way. But if you're in a healthy church family, these are the benefits that you're supposed to get. They're built in. You're supposed to be encouraged and loved and supported. That's what it looks like when we're all on the same page, when we're in unity together, when we know how to live out our purpose for joining together. Look at what Paul says. He says, do you have encouragement, love, fellowship? And if the answer is yes, then he says this in verse 2, make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Another thing Paul was really good at was if-then statements. Paul liked to write that way. He liked to say, if this is true, then this should be true, right? A lot of times you'll see the word therefore, especially if you read the NIV, the New International Version, you'll see the word therefore, and you're supposed to ask, what is it there for? It's because it points you to something, right? If this is true, then this is true. So he's saying, if you have a healthy church, he draws a straight line. If your church is healthy and your connection to your church is healthy, here's what I want you to do. I want you to work together. So in other words, Paul's saying we are meant to live together in community. And remember, this series is all about building community. We're meant to live together in community as a family of God, and it's all about unity. We join together in unity, and we do it for a common purpose. We're on this journey together, together in community. I did a little bit of a dive on the word community this week, and I found out that it first came into use in the 14th century, so that'd be the late 1300s. The word community was first used to describe people who had a common residence, people who lived in the same space, right? So the people of Mountjoy would be a community because they live in the same space. And then the next century, you go up to the 5th century, and you find that the word community is now being used to describe a society. People who had some other things in common. People who were a group, a type of people. The same type of people were a community. People with common interests. So I found that interesting because if you look at the word common and you look at the word unity and you put them together, you get community. And I was like, wow, that's cool. That's a neat way to think of it. Common unity, community. So we're called to live together in community. Paul said we should agree wholeheartedly with each other. Right? Agree wholeheartedly with each other. And that's a challenge right there, isn't it? Okay, all right, we're going to do a little exercise. Do me a favor. Hold up. Let me see your right hand. Okay, for some of you, it's the other right. Now, hold up your right hand. I want you to make a pointer finger. And now I want you to point at someone in this room that you agree with 100% of the time about everything. Point. All right, husbands, if you're not pointing at your wives right now, you might have a problem when you get home, okay? And if you can't do it, that's okay, because I really do think it's a challenge. It is difficult to say that there's going to be one person that you always agree with 100% of the time about 100% of everything. And yet, Paul says we should agree wholeheartedly with each other. What could that mean? Well, have you ever heard of a deal breaker? A deal breaker is that moment in time when you've hit a wall, when you can't go any further, when you have no more to talk about and you're walking away because the conversation's over, right? A deal breaker. I'll give you an example. I used to sell cars. I sold cars for a number of years before I came to Mount Joy Mennonite Church, so I got a little car picture there for you to enjoy, right? I want you to imagine that you're walking on a lot full of shiny cars. We're walking together with a guy who wants to buy a car. And he's identified this car, and he's looked at it, and he's excited about it, and he likes things about it, and he's looking at it, and he goes, yeah, I think I want to buy this car. Let's go inside. Let's talk about it. So we go inside. We sit down at the desk, and we start to talk. What's the first thing he's going to want to know? Yeah, isn't that funny? The first thing you want to know about when you're buying a car is the price, right? See, if the car doesn't have the mileage that he was hoping, or if it isn't his favorite color, or maybe it doesn't have a backup camera, I mean, he might still buy the car. That might be okay with him. But see, if the price is higher than he wants, or higher than he thinks is reasonable, then that's a what? Deal breaker, right? Conversation's over. He's walking away. Last week, Pastor Carl talked about the effect of consumerism in our lives. He called it changing the channel. You don't like this show? Change the channel, right? We don't like this restaurant anymore? We don't go back. The price of the used car is too high? We walk away. There's nothing wrong with any of those decisions. But see, when we carry that mindset over into our spiritual life, we begin to have a problem. Don't like something at this church? Pick another one. And here's where I'm going with this. I've even seen people do this in their relationships in the church. Someone said something that hurt you. I've been hurt, and confronting the problem is too scary and uncomfortable, so I'm just not going to talk to that person for a while. I'm going to shut down. I'm going to pretend everything's okay. Maybe I'll judge them from afar. Maybe I'll just cut them out of my life completely. I don't need this hassle. Maybe I'll even leave the church. Maybe I'll run away to a place where I don't have to face this problem anymore. Deal breaker. Deal breaker. See, when we jump into deal breaker mode, we aren't honoring God's heart for unity in the church. If we would rather shut down, or we'd rather run away, or we'd rather cut off a person in the church, in the body of Christ that we both belong to, then we're wrong. We're wrong. And there might be some people here who need to hear that this morning. You're holding on to something against someone else, and that's wrong. And you might say, but you don't know how badly they hurt me. You don't know what they did. No, I don't. But I know that God's love is unconditional. See, when Paul talked about God's love in this passage, he's using that Greek word agape, which means unconditional love, love without boundaries, love without conditions. It doesn't say, I love you if you are this way. I love you if you ask for forgiveness. I love you if you blank. It's I love you, period. I love you all the time. I love you without reservation or condition. And I know that I serve a God who went to great lengths to bring love and grace and forgiveness into my life when I didn't deserve it. And I know that he did that same thing for you, fellow Christian. And he did that same thing for the person who hurt you. So he wants you to forgive that person today. Now, there are some things that should be deal breakers for us. Sometimes we have to walk away from a situation, and sometimes it's justified, but I want you to hear this today. If we claim to be true followers of Jesus, we have a responsibility to work toward reconciliation with each other always. Always. Romans 12 says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you means that you do everything you can do to seek peace, even when the other person is doing it wrong. You don't hold grudges. You don't pretend. You don't gossip. You don't withhold forgiveness. You actively pursue the restoration of an honorable relationship with people because that's what Jesus did. That's what he does. That's what he did for each one of us. He died for us to make us right with God, our Father, and he wants us to be right with each other. Reconciliation isn't just the right thing to do, it's the liberating thing to do. When you forgive, you are set free from bondage in your life. And that's the victory that Jesus won for our lives, freedom from the bondage of sin. So back to this idea of unity in the church. Paul says, agree wholeheartedly with one another. And when he says that, it means that we don't make small conflicts and even sometimes the bigger ones into deal breakers in our relationships. We agree on what's important, and that those important things take priority. One of the important things we agree on is reconciliation between each other. And it's really no problem for us to have different opinions on all kinds of things, things that aren't necessary for salvation. We need to say, yes, God is God, Jesus is his son, he died for us, he rose again. Those are all non-negotiables. But the things that don't matter in that conversation are not things that should break our fellowship with each other. We should seek reconciliation. We have to work out respect and live out the life and love of Christ in our relationships. This is living together in common unity, living together in community. It looks like intentional reconciliation. And Paul isn't done yet. We've only looked at the first two verses of Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to get through the next chapter. No, I'm kidding. Two verses, and he isn't done yet. So here's where we are. He's told us about living together in community in the body of Christ, and he also wants us to live together on mission. Live together in community, live together on mission. In verse 2, Paul just said, work together with one mind and purpose. And here we have an if-then statement again. If you're going to work together with one mind and purpose, then what might that purpose be? So we look ahead into the next verses. In verses 3 and 4, he says, don't be selfish. Focus on other people. Think of others as better than yourselves. Put them first. Take an interest in others. So Paul's giving us this set of instructions that are both inward-facing and outward-facing, together in community, together on mission. See, he's not just talking about building community with people who are already part of our circle, people who already walked in the doors of the building, right? He's talking about people who aren't yet part of that circle. I'm going to say it again. What we learn here in verses 3 and 4 is that living in the community of faith in Jesus is supposed to include reaching out to people who aren't yet part of our circle. I used to work with a pastor who was fond of saying that the church is the only organization in the world that exists for people who aren't already members. That's a major part of what the church is supposed to do, to help people see and experience the love of Christ. I think we could look at Paul's instructions this way. When we see these phrases together about agreeing wholeheartedly and loving one another, we can think about living in community. When we see things like work together with one purpose and take an interest in others and put them first, we think that's about living together on mission. See, both of these things are important, but I believe mission is why we exist as a church. I heard a pastor say this week, don't think church, think mission. Don't think about going to church, think about going on mission. Have you ever thought that way about the church? We are on mission. I have to tell you, this is where I get really excited. See, the church isn't about power. It isn't about social status. It isn't about entertainment. The church is about the mission to see the kingdom of God take place here on the earth, to see people's lives changed by the present reality of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And yet, sometimes we humans get focused on one of those other lesser man-made ideas of what church is supposed to be, and we forget that the church was created when Jesus gave his disciples a mission. He said, go, Preach the gospel, the good news. Go make disciples and help people know how to follow me. That's what Jesus said. That's our mission. We read the entire New Testament and we see that they worked really hard at this mission. And here at Mount Joy Mennonite Church, we have a mission statement. And that mission statement is meant to reflect those words of Jesus. Jesus said, go make disciples, teach them to follow him. And our mission statement says we do those things too. We enjoy God together, we love each other in community, but we also bless our neighbors because that's part of Jesus' mission for us. Now we could use other words in there too. We could say serving our neighbor or reaching our neighbor or loving our neighbor. Whatever word you want to use, that's part of our mission to the world. It's about living together on mission. And church family, this morning, if you're tired of hearing about the mission, good. Because if you're starting to get tired of it, that means it's starting to sink in that that's what we're about, that's why we exist. It might sound like a broken record hearing me and other people up here talk about the mission of the church, but it absolutely has to be a broken record for us to get it done, for us to be accomplishing this mission and living this way. Do I really want you to be sick of it? No, not really. But I do want you to own it. So this morning I'm asking you that question. Do you own your part? Do you own your part of living into community and living together on mission? When Paul said, love each other and work together for one purpose, did you receive that those words were really for you? For you. What are you doing right now to build community within the church family? There are a lot of ways to do that. Last week, Pastor Carl gave us some great suggestions. If you are only connecting with us on our live stream, maybe you need to come and connect with us in person. If you're only here occasionally, maybe you need to make it more of a priority to be here in community together. If you are somebody who leaves after the worship service, maybe you need to find a Next Steps class to be part of or a small group that meets at another time. If you're someone who's not serving in the church, there are a lot of ministry areas that could use your help and your hands and your heart to help minister to other people. Will you volunteer to serve in ministry of the church? Together in community. And whether or not you're already invested in living together in community, are you also invested in living together on mission? When Jesus said, go out there and find people and teach them to follow, do you know that he was saying that to you? Those words aren't just for pastors. They're not just for paid church staff. Those words, that great commission that Jesus gave us, they're for you. Your identity as a child of God includes the command to reach out and share faith, hope, and love with people all around you. So you remember when I told you that we have a great strength that can also be one of our biggest challenges? Well, here it is. In the past 4 years since I came to Mount Joy Mennonite Church, I've seen us consistently be really welcoming to people who walk through our doors. But what about the people who have zero interest in walking through the doors of a church building? What about the people who don't know what the word Mennonite means? What about the people who don't think that Jesus was a real person who really existed? What about people who think they are so unloved and so unwanted that they could never be welcome among people like us? If we were to list all the things that could keep someone from walking through those doors of this building, I think we would never finish. So we can't afford to sit around and expect people to come to us. We have to be proactive in the way we practice our faith and the way we build our community. See, Paul went on in chapter 2, and we're not going to get to all of it today, but he went on in chapter 2 to talk about shining brightly, being a light to the world around you, living a life that shows people what it looks like to follow Jesus. And that's what we're called to do. If we're going to reach out, we better do it with some authenticity. We better say, following Jesus is worth it, and here's why. Look what he's done in my life. It's just incredible to be a believer in Jesus. I know this is a huge challenge because See, those of us who are here every week, we're here because we like it here. We like where we sit on Sunday mornings. We like seeing those familiar faces. We like the things we do together. We already like it. And that's great. That just isn't all there is. My friends, I believe the enemy of our mission is comfort. Because if we get too comfortable, it becomes easy for us to turn inward and to stop looking at other people who need Jesus. And the world continues to change around us, and it becomes harder and less common for us to reach out face to face and find people where they are. And so we stick with what we're comfortable with. We stick with our comfortable rhythms. We stick with the people we're already comfortable with. But anyone who has started a new job or moved to a new place can tell you that starting relationships from scratch is hard work. And we may not realize it, but that's exactly what we're asking people to do if we sit still and ask them to come to us. You come to me. You start a relationship with me. You join in. You start to look like me. And once you look like me, then we'll accept you. That's not the message of the church. If we're just sitting here enjoying the benefits of our community together and we aren't proactive, we run the risk of our comfort becoming complacency and thinking people who want to know Jesus or who want to be part of a church family will find their way here. But how will they find their way here if we don't live out our mission? I hate the idea of us sitting comfortably in a comfortable building doing comfortable things when nowhere in Scripture does God ever call us to be comfortable. He calls us to be peaceful. He calls us to be confident. He calls us to be full of grace. He calls us to be faithful, for sure, but he doesn't call us to be comfortable. Our series is called Healthy Church, and every healthy church needs to find a balance between discipleship, caring for people who are already connected, and helping them to grow, and evangelism. Inviting people to come to know Jesus and get connected with what he's doing through the church and the body of Christ. Really healthy churches lean toward the evangelism side of the mission because they know that healthy things grow and things that stop growing will eventually die. But I have good news for you this morning. If you're a Christian today, you and I carry a God-given identity. We are children of God. We are followers of Christ. We are no longer sinners, but saints. We cannot be separated from the love of God. Scripture tells us this and so many other things about our identity as followers of Christ. And we have this community of faith, this church family where we learn to enjoy God and love each other and reach out to bless our neighbors. See, the great thing about knowing that this mission is mine, that these words of Jesus and Paul are for me, is that we also know that God gave me the identity and the strength and the community that I would need to be able to live out this mission. You and I are called to live together in community and to live together on mission. God's placed that same calling on all of us. Now this morning, if you're someone who's brand new to this idea, I'm not trying to leave you out. If Jesus isn't a part of your life, if you don't have a relationship with God personally, I want to tell you this morning, living a life following Jesus is the best decision that you could ever make. See, the love of God for you never ends. The grace of God is big enough to forgive everything you have ever done wrong. And he promises you that even though you'll die one day, you'll live forever together with him in heaven. It's a promise. So today, if you haven't made a decision to follow Jesus yet, I want you to come and find me after the service. I'm going to be down here in the front corner away from everybody else, and I'd love to talk to you. But if you're here this morning and you already call this church home, you already have a relationship with the Lord, and this is your church family, I want to encourage you, just like you heard last week, to respond to this message today by taking your next step. Maybe you should take one of those steps from last week. I don't know where you are on the journey. Maybe you need to find a class or a group. Maybe you need to serve in a ministry of the church. And I know there are lots of you, there are lots of people who already have great connections in the church. Maybe you have a ton of friends already. Maybe you're part of a class or a study group. So if that's you, then look for someone who doesn't have those connections already. Maybe there's someone who needs help to connect within the church. But here's the really challenging part. You may find that that person that you are intended to help connect, it might not be someone who already walked in the door of the building. They might be on the side of the road. They might be behind the counter in your local store. They might be on the other end of your phone. So as we pray this morning and close our time together, we want to ask God to show each of us who we need to connect with this week. And if you don't already have that person in your mind, maybe you haven't met them yet. Or maybe you'll know it when that time comes. So let's pray that God will help us to pay attention so that when the moment is there, you'll know it and he'll be able to work through you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your love for us. We are here today to worship you and to experience your presence. We're here today to connect with you and with each other in love, serve beside each other. And we're here to be challenged by your Spirit to go out into the world and find people to share your love with. Lord, make us a church that has a culture of invitation, inviting people into a relationship with you. Lord, you want us to invite people to a relationship with you and our church family. You want us to do discipleship and evangelism, living together in community and living together on mission. We need them both. We know we're only going to be successful with this mission if we surrender to you and draw our strength from you. You have given us everything we need for life and godliness. Your word tells us that. You've given us everything we need to live in community and to live on mission. So this morning, will you speak to our hearts and reveal to us your next step as we listen now? Speak to us about our next step. We honor you, Lord, by saying yes to you today.